So I think, first of all, we just have to recognize again, and I've been saying this for, I think, since Advent sometime, that the church wants us to get this, that when God promised good things to the Jewish people, his revelation was focused and contained by the Jewish people as part of their, you know, cultural lore and heritage, that all of these things that God spoke, these promises, were fulfilled when Jesus came. And so the church wants us to remember that. And so again, we get this fulfillment schema in Matthew's gospel, and we heard the prophecy from Isaiah. And so this is important for a couple reasons. One is that there's always been a tendency since the beginning for people to want to separate the God of the Old Testament, because that's a confusing God. There's no way, I mean, that's just an honest statement. You can read the Old Testament. There's some pretty crazy stuff, and God was right in the thick of it at times. And so people just wanted to sort of get that God out of the picture and focus on the God that Jesus shows us. But that is not the way the church said we needed to proceed. We need to proceed with the fulfillment and the completion and the complement and the extension of the revelation of God consistent with the Old Testament. But when you get, you know, if you got three pieces of a puzzle and you don't have more information, then you're pretty limited in what you understand about that, and you get more pieces of the puzzle and things come in to take better shape, things are clearer. And that's what we've experienced with God and continue to experience, because God isn't finished yet. The world is not yet experiencing the total extent of the promises of God. These wonderful passages that we've been hearing since before Advent, that God's going to restore peace, he's going to wipe away every tear, death itself will be vanquished, and none of these have been our experience entirely. And so we're settled in the middle of this, but it's not that there's an inconsistency in God's revelation. The church wants us to understand that, and wants us to understand that because it safeguards the message of the gospel. Knowing that things are incomplete, knowing that the scripture, you can't just sort of point to a piece of scripture and go, "Thus saith the Lord." You need the wider picture to understand that, right? I mean, it's like a crime scene or something, or a good detective novel, and it's like, aha, that's, you know, everything points to this. Well, yes, now, because you only know part of the story, and then the next piece comes, you go, aha, everything point, no, there's still more. And so, you know, a good story like that gives you a very satisfying conclusion, because they've surprised you and they've entertained you, but it all fits together. And that's where we are. We're in the middle of the story somewhere. And there's been a lot of damage done by people running, picking up one piece and running with it. This is God, this is God. Well, no, that's one part of the revelation of God. An infinite being revealing himself to finite and broken and selfish and selfishly motivated humans. Not sure why I'm getting on that hobby horse. But the church wants us not to do that. And one way that we are safeguarded from that is accepting the whole witness of Scripture, Genesis to Revelation, and realizing that Scripture places us in an unfinished project. Praise God, it has begun his redemption and restoration of all of creation. Birds, bees, trees, and humans, all being renewed, all being restored, all being recreated, begun now in Jesus Christ. Praise God that has happened. Praise God that he has brought us into that story. And there's two dangers then in the Christian tradition, or there's two dangers that face humans since Christ came. One is just to say, I don't believe it, I'm not buying in. That wasn't God. Big deal. I'm out of here. And then we don't experience an encounter, the life-giving and transformation, the light in darkness, etc., etc. The other is to then begin to try and harness this new life and this power for our own agenda and our own purposes, to make it about us, me and mine and ours, to make it about our genetic tribe or our country or our political party or our church. And these things have happened, and this is in part what, you know, what Paul is dealing with, beginning to deal with there in Corinth. So first of all, what happened? What is it that we should be not dismissing and trying to sidestep and ignoring? What is it? It's that Jesus came as light, and that light was, as we get this at the end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus went into the whole countryside. Now, Matthew is just introducing Jesus still at this point. Jesus has just been baptized, tempted. When John gets arrested, Jesus moves to Galilee and begins his ministry. And so now we're launched, and Matthew gives us a summary statement. Jesus called disciples to himself. So Jesus has always been about getting a group of people who are going to be his body, his testimony, his witness, his hands, his feet. That's not a